We're now joined on the line by Cormac Spencer from Link Personnel to tell us about some tips to outlast your job probation. A very good afternoon to you, Cormac. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Johnny. Thanks for having me.
You're most welcome. Well, for anyone out there who has nailed the interview, accepted a new job offer, breathe a sigh of relief and think it's all downhill from there. It isn't quite like that, is it? A new job isn't something guaranteed for life, and most jobs will require a 6-month probation period to assess your work performance against your initial interview performance. So first of all, Cormac, in terms of the probation period, what are the main points that employers will take into consideration?
I suppose probation, the first thing to say about it, Johnny, is that probation is a two-way street. So we're all sort of conditioned to think that we need to be afraid in the job that we go into and kind of, you know, get the head down and make sure we're doing the right thing. But from the other perspective, the employee should also be figuring out during that period whether the job is something that they want to do. But from an employer's perspective, they're going to want to know that you're integrating well with the rest of the team. They're going to want to know that what you said in the interview is actually the truth and you're able to sort of back up your words with actions. And they're going to want to know that within that 6-month period where they don't expect you to be, you know, reinventing the wheel, they want to know that you're fitting in and that you're on the right track and you're going to be an employee that they can keep for the longer term.
Right, okay. So first impressions, I guess, are very important, like to be smart, motivated, come across as motivated and dynamic.
Yeah, well, you've got a clean slate. So what I said is that you probably don't know most of the people that you're going to be working with in a new job. So that gives you the opportunity to establish yourself however you want to. And if you can do that pretty effectively in the first couple of weeks or the first month or two, then you're setting your stall out for the rest of the job. So simple enough things. First of all, if you're coming into a team, make sure that you're introducing yourself around, that you're getting to know people. More importantly, that you're seeing the lay of the land and who makes the decisions, who kind of has the authority, and making sure that you're able to fit into that dynamic. Making sure that you establish yourself. So if there are, you know, management meetings or if there are team meetings, that you're piping up a little bit. You know, that you're not talking all day, but that you're able to make intelligent contributions and set yourself out as somebody, as you say, who's sharp and who's sort of connected. During that first 6 months, the old adage of, you know, 2 ears and one mouth and using them accordingly is probably the right thing to do. So make sure that you're taking in all the sorts of things that you need to in a new job, and make sure that you're asking the right questions early on. So for instance, you know, most places when you go in will give you a training period, training or induction period for a week or two. That's the time you want to be asking all the questions you need to. Don't be shy about asking for help. Don't be shy about asking for training in particular areas where you think you might need a little bit of extra, because people are very, very happy to give it to you. You'll know there's a lot of goodwill for people when they come in to a new job. But if 2 or 3 months down the line, you're still wondering, you know, what the password to your computer is or what the, you know, the very simple things are, patience will wear a little bit thin. So make sure you get to grips with it as quickly as you possibly can in terms of the nuts and bolts, and then establish yourself in terms of the wider team by making those contributions at meetings, by offering help to other people if they need it, and just by generally making sure that you're setting out your stall to the rest of the company.
Yeah, so I guess it's very important to write down everything that you're taught in the very beginning, shown new systems, etc., exactly by the piece, so then you don't need to ask again and again, because it's there in front of you.
People are generally a little bit nervous when they go into a new job. That's natural enough. And so, you know, the idea is to think, okay, I didn't quite grasp that entirely. I'll ask, you know, immediately. Whereas if you bring in a pad or, you know, do it on your iPhone, whatever it might be, note down the questions that you have or you think you have at that point in time. So if you're doing a morning induction and you think, I didn't quite grasp that, just jot it down. If it hasn't been addressed then by the end of the day, you can go to the trainer or go to the team leader or whoever it is and, you know, one-on-one approach them and say, listen, a couple of things that I didn't quite get. But I guarantee that if you've written 10 things down during that day, 5 or 6 of them will have been dealt with by the time you get to the end of it. So it allows you to, A, be a little bit calmer in terms of what you're doing, B, not be piping up every 5 minutes and maybe interrupting people and becoming a bit of a pain in the neck, and C, you know, be more focused in what you're asking people, which in turn allows them to see that you know what you need to know, and you're not afraid to ask pertinent questions. So they're happy to help in that instance.
Okay, okay, that's fine. And I suppose it's important to perhaps, you know, ask for training, look for training, you know, introduce yourself to get to know everybody, what they do, who makes the decisions on what.
That's it. There's a common sort of misconception about, we're very relaxed about job interviews and all the rest of it here, and the business that we're in, you know, we see them every day of the week, but most people will only ever do a handful of interviews and start a handful of new jobs in their lifetime. But the common misconception is that if you go into an interview, for instance, that the people you're meeting don't want you to get the job. You know, they want to keep you out, they want to try and trip you up. That's not the case, because from their perspective, if they meet somebody who's a good match for their job, it's better for them. It means they don't have to interview any more people. It means that they found someone suitable that they can go to the hiring manager and say, fantastic, we've got a good candidate. Same thing with inductions and training. People think that, you know, they're not here to help me. They're, you know, I have to do this on my own. I've got to get up to speed now to make sure that I'm competing with everybody else, that I'm doing well enough. Whereas in actual fact, it's in the interest of the business that you're inducted properly, that you're integrated properly, and that you're happy in your job. So a lot of places will identify people for very simple things like, you know, if you start at first for your first day of work and you don't know anyone, who do you go to lunch with? You know, those sort of simple things that you. So some of the bigger companies will assign somebody and say, you know, Cormac's starting tomorrow. Can you bring him down to the canteen, show him around, all that sort of stuff. So they want to do the very best that they can to make sure that you're happy and that they're getting their money's worth. By the same token, you know, you want to be doing the same thing and making sure that you're integrating. But it is a team effort. You know what I mean? That the company that's there wants you to do well, so they're not going to raise their eyes or kind of sigh if you're asking for training or something, or if you're asking questions. But it goes back to it. Ask them early. You know, make sure that you're getting the stuff in early enough, because people, there's a lot of goodwill at the start, and it's a downward curve as it goes kind of weeks and months into it. You don't want to be asking the same questions again and again and not grasping the basics. So don't be shy about asking, and know that they're there to help you.
Yeah, okay. And I guess also the small little things that can grow into bigger things, like avoid gossip, don't make enemies, and don't come across as Mr. Know-it-all. Like someone would say, that's not the way it was done in my old job, because you're not in London anymore.
You're not in Kansas anymore, as they say. I think the main thing there is, I go back to the person going bringing you down for lunch in the canteen. That's where the gossip happens, and you know, like your parents probably told you not to fall in with a bad crowd. When you go into a new job and there are people there, you don't really know anything about anybody there.
Yeah, so, absolutely, yeah, yeah.
You know, be nice to them, and if people are complaining about so-and-so and, you know, he or she is doing this, that and the other, just smile, as I said, two ears and one mouth. You've got to, A, take people at face value, and B, realise where the kind of power dynamics are and where the truth lies, because some people are fed up in their jobs and it bleeds into their conversation or seeps into their conversation, whatever you want to call it. And they're disaffected. So if you identify with that person and take everything they're saying as the truth, then you're going to have a terrible impression of everybody else. You need to distance yourself and kind of understand what the broad perspective is in the company, so you can make your own decisions on who you like, who you don't like, and how you're going to act in there. So, you know, just like going to the movies, I don't really read reviews of films before I go into it, because that's one person's opinion. I prefer to go in, make my own, and see whether I like it or not. Just in like in any job, if you speak to one person or maybe a couple of people, it's their opinion.
Yes, of course.
You know, you need to figure your own stuff out, and most people who are grown up and going into a job should be able to do that. But the really important thing there is, like I said, the power dynamics. The probation is one thing, and you know, getting through your probation is a great first step. But if you know who is going to be able to, you know, be deciding on your bonus, be deciding on your salary, be deciding on whether you might be promoted, then it's probably a good idea early on to make a good impression with them and not be swayed by people who might be not their best friends.
Yeah. Okay. And of course, it's probably also important to remember, although we are here talking about probation in the job, this should continue indefinitely, regardless. You know.
Yeah, well, It kind of ties in with what I said there about bonuses and promotion. So there is a tendency when people say, when the company says, great, you have a permanent contract, you do that sigh of relief because it's more difficult now for them to get rid of you. But if you want to continue on with the progress, then you have to be able to do those same things again, be involved in meetings.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Put
absolutely.
Yourself about a bit, continue to interact with people, connect with people, and that'll help you. And it also comes into the gossiping and that sort of thing. If you're engaged in your work, A, you're not going to be gossiping as much, and B, you're staying away from people who probably aren't very well regarded within the company anyway, and allowing yourself to kind of have a better track to promotion.
Okay. Cormac, thank you very much. Most helpful and very interesting.
Pleasure, John. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you very much. Have a great day, and thanks for joining us.